Thank you. So tonight we are going to look at the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what we are going to discuss tonight is, first of all, the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture. We covered that a few weeks ago, and we're going to get some Scripture that's going to reinforce that in our lives. Secondly, the Holy Spirit inspires believers to honor Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit that guides us, and he expects believers, Christians, to honor Jesus Christ. In our lives as Christians, as we journey through time side of eternity, we should be emulating Jesus in our lives and show him the honor and glory that he deserves along with the Father. Third, we're going to explore the purpose of the Holy Spirit's inspiration. And the Holy Spirit inspired prophecy. And people are aware of the Holy Spirit's inspiration. People don't take that for granted. Next, we are going to see in the Scriptures the Holy Spirit gives revelation. And out of that revelation, we are going to see that we receive wisdom and knowledge that the Spirit gives us through the Scriptures. It's not man-made. It doesn't come from studies of philosophy, but it comes from God. And the Holy Spirit reveals God's fatherhood to believers and speech is inspired by the Holy Spirit. We see that in Acts 2, when Peter and the rest of the apostles got up, they started preaching Jesus to the multitudes. And many people heard it that were foreigners in their own tongue. The Holy Spirit gives instruction. When we search the Scriptures, we see what God expects from Christians, from his children. Just as in our families, we set ground rules for our children so that they could grow and become believers. Also, the Holy Spirit had given gifts. And one of those gifts was the gift of tongues. And finally, the Holy Spirit assists us in prayer. So the Holy Spirit inspires prophecy and gives knowledge of God, insight, and wisdom. And can I get someone to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, please?
But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God.
Thank you, Carol. We see that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's interpretation. It doesn't come from us, from what we conjure up in our minds, what we determine what it is. It comes from God. And the Holy Spirit speaks from God. And he has given us the Scriptures so that we could live a righteous life. So we could be one with God as we journey on this earth. There's going to be a point in time when we won't have the scriptures. All we will do is be in front of the judgment seat of God. And we could conjure up different images about what's going to happen, but all our acts, good and bad, we will be held accountable. And we shouldn't take scriptures and use our own interpretation. We should see what God has to say about the scriptures. And that's why the Spirit had given men the inspiration to write these things down. When you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that these individuals who wrote the Gospels wrote about Jesus and his life here. And not all the things that Jesus did was written down. But yet, there's enough information the Holy Spirit wanted you and I to have so that we could acquire the knowledge of God. We could see what God's wisdom is. In fact, when you look at Genesis, you look at creation, who else could have come up with this? Only God. We know that man wants to say that, well, this is just spontaneous, but it's not. God created everything. God created the world, the things of the world. God created you and I. And it's up to us to search the scriptures so that we could understand what God's word is. And not only apply it to our lives, but demonstrate to other people that we are Christians. And we will do what we can for God. So the first question I had tonight was, how did the Holy Spirit assist the apostles? And if you look at John chapter 14, verse 26. And before we do that, first of all, like I said, the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the scripture. And in Psalms chapter 143 and verse 10, the psalmist says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. How are we going to be taught about God's will? And that is true to scripture. So with that, can I get someone to read John chapter 14, verse 26?
I can do that. But the Helper,
sure,
the Holy
Spirit. Sure,
okay, sorry. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you.
Thank you, Eileen. So here, Jesus is talking to the apostles or his disciples. And he said, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit is going to assist the apostles so that they will speak truth, what Jesus had taught them. And, you know, there were a lot of things that the apostles questioned. They questioned Jesus. In fact, if you remember in Acts chapter 1, we see that when Jesus appeared to his disciples and all the people in the room, the apostles said to them, Are you going to establish a kingdom now? And they were still looking for an earthly kingdom. But Jesus told them, that's not the case. So the Spirit is going to guide these men. And he did. We looked at Acts chapter 2. We talked about it. And all throughout their ministry, the Holy Spirit was with them. So what did the Holy Spirit foretell by the mouth of David concerning Judas? And we read that in Acts chapter 1, verse 16. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
Brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus.
Thanks, Di. So this is the point after Jesus' ascension, when they had to pick a replacement for Judas. And Peter got up and said, brethren, the scripture had been fulfilled. He understood that the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas. He betrayed Jesus when he was arrested. He guided those individuals to arrest Jesus. And this was foretold by David, who lived many years before. So scripture is important. It reveals to us what God wants us to know. And the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of David, said that just Judas is going to betray Jesus. And it came true at the Garden of Gethsemane. So what did Paul tell the saints at Rome concerning the Holy Spirit? In Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God.
Thank you, Faye. So we as Christians are supposed to live by the Spirit. We don't live according to the flesh. We don't live according to the flesh because we're going to die. And Paul reiterated this thing in this particular verse. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How are we led by the Spirit of God? What guides us in our life as Christians?
The Bible.
That is the Bible, that is correct. The Word of God. And if you don't have that in your life and you live according to the world, you're going to die. And that's a spiritual death. But if you live by the words of the Bible, you're going to be called sons of God. We are very fortunate. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. We don't have bits and pieces of the Bible. We have the totality of God's Word. And we have many different resources to our ability to search out God's Word. For example, we have different Bibles. We have the Hebrew Bible, we have a Greek Bible, we have the English Bible, different versions of the English Bible, so that we can study and try to assimilate what was said back in the day. I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. But I will try to dig into different Bibles so I could understand God's word. And not only understand God's word, but apply it to my life so that I could walk in a right relationship with God. And the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the scripture. It is fascinating to me when you look at the Bible, and we talked a little bit about this prior, and we said that there were about 40 different writers, and they all have one common thing they wrote about, and that was about Jesus. And that's going to be our theme as we go forward. When we look at the various books of the Bible, we are going to see that Jesus is in them. We are going to see how scriptures foreshadowed Jesus' life. We are going to see how scriptures from the Old Testament brought us to the realization of the New Testament. So how does the Holy Spirit inspire believers to honor Jesus? And I have two verses to look at. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. So can I get someone to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 3?
Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. So we see that when Paul writes to the saints at Corinth, he says no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We receive that information in the Bible. We also see in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 2, but by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. That's what it's all about in our lives, Jesus. Jesus is our center. Jesus unifies us as Christians. And it's up to us as Christians to share that message with others. When you look at the world today, you look at society today, they are not putting on Jesus. And why is that? Well, Satan has a foothold, a strong foothold in the world. And he's not only pulling those individuals to him, but also he's trying to pull Christians away from the Lord. And we have to be on our guard. We have to be ready to confess Jesus Christ at all times. One of the things that comes to my mind when you look at 1 and 2 Peter, and you think about the saints at during the first century, how they struggled with persecution. We don't have that type of persecution here in the United States. But look at the brethren who are in Ukraine. Look at the brethren who are in Russia. Look at the brethren who suffer because they name Jesus. We may someday experience that. I don't know. Hopefully we don't, and we pray about it, that we won't. But if the time comes, where's your loyalty? Where will you stand? Look at Peter when the Lord was being beaten. What did Peter do? He told Jesus that he was going to stand up no matter what the cost, even if it was his life. And Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And he knew he messed up. What about you today? Are you going to shrink and not stand up for the Lord? We should all always stand up for the Lord. And the Holy Spirit told us this in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12:3, Jesus is Lord. So what does God give us in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17? Can I get someone to read that for me, please?
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him.
Thank you, Anne. So, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's God the Father. He has all the glory. He has all the honor that we should bestow upon him. And he gives us a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. And how do we acquire that? That's through our reading. That's through our prayer. That's through our meditation on God's word. And that's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit's inspiration. He had given these writers of the Bible the inspiration to write God's wisdom down, to reveal his knowledge to you and I. We may not comprehend all things. In fact, a previous class I had shown how the Old Testament and New Testament was separated by the death of Jesus on the cross. I have to basically compartmentalize each of those things because I received that from my studies. But God doesn't need that. Everything is instantaneous to him. And by revealing his word to us, we will understand what he expects from you and I. And when Paul had written to the saints at Ephesus, God the Father will give us a spirit of wisdom, of the revelation of the knowledge of him. And that's what we need in our lives, to share with others. The whole purpose of Christianity that we're part of is to share the gospel, is to share the message of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ with others so that they can have salvation. So what was revealed to the apostles and to the prophets? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And I'll read this particular passage. And starting with verse 1, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the Gentiles. If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation them was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations were not made known to the sons of men, as has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So the mystery of Christ was revealed. In fact, you look at Romans chapter 1, verses 16. Paul said to the saints at Rome, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's God's power for salvation to everyone who believes." That's not leaving anyone out, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he purposely says to the Jews first. Well, first of all, they were children of God, and they had the oracles of God. They had God's word. And when we look at the Old Testament, we're going to see that their history, their falling from God's grace, they're abandoning their first love. But God was still long-suffering. God was still patient with them. And God gave them a second opportunity here in the New Testament to become Christians. And this was revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's inspiration, the purpose was to share about this mystery. The Gentiles will also have salvation in Christ. Through whom does God inspire Isaiah and the prophets? And that's in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 21, and John chapter 3 and verse 34. Can I get a volunteer for Isaiah 59, verse 21, please?
I can read that.
Go ahead.
As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever.
Thank you, Eileen. So he said, my spirit which is upon you and my words which I put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor the mouth of your offspring, nor the mouth of your offspring's offspring. Boy, if I have to say it three times, I'll be in trouble. But God expects through his prophet Isaiah to the children of Israel that they keep God's word. And the Spirit, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gave those words to them. When we look at the Ten Commandments, when Moses came down off the mountain, the Israelites worshiping idols, the golden calf. How upsetting was that to the Lord? I know Moses was upset, but he just departed a little while from them, and they turned into doing evil. But what do you think God was thinking about? After he took the children of Israel out of bondage, freed them from slavery, took them away from the Egyptians, but yet they turned their backs on the Lord. Can I get someone to read John chapter 3, verse 34?
For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God, and for he gives the Spirit without measure.
Thank you. So he whom God has sent, that's the Holy Spirit, he gives us what we need as children of God, his word. And by applying his word to our lives in every aspect, not when it's convenient for you and I, not when it interferes with worldly things in our lives, our jobs, our recreation, our friends, our worldly friends. The Spirit gives us without measure. That is awesome to think about. God has given us the way we should live, the path that we should follow. And it's hard sometimes as Christians. We fall short. We all sin. And we slip. But we have an avenue to correct that, and that is through Christ Jesus. So how does the Spirit guide? How does the Holy Spirit guide men? And I have two verses from the Old Testament, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, Isaiah 48, and verse 16. So 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2. Can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue.
And thank you, Anne. So we see that Samuel, the prophet, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him, and his word was on his tongue. How about you when you read God's word? Are his words are on your tongue? You know, we had many lessons about the tongue from James. And it's difficult sometimes to control your tongue. In fact, it does a lot of damage. But if you speak God's word, you're not going to get in trouble. And in verse, in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 16, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
Come near to me, listen to this. From the first, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit.
Thank you, Faye. So we see that. When Isaiah was prophesying, he said the Lord God had sent him, and his Spirit is with him. The Spirit of God is in us today, and it's up to you and I to use our abilities in whatever capacity we have. Some people are good communicators. Some people are good orators. Some people are good teachers. But use your ability, use your talents to the best of your ability to worship God. So people were aware of the Holy Spirit's inspiration back in the Old Testament and in today's world. So who knows the thoughts of God? This is a pretty interesting verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10 through 13. Who would like to read that?
I'll read that one, Lenny.
Go ahead, Dean. Thank you.
For unto us, God has revealed it through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Who among men knows the thoughts of a man, save except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things also we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words.
Thank you, Dean. I appreciate that. So the Spirit knows the mind of God. And the thoughts of God, no human knows, but yet the Spirit of God knows it. And the Holy Spirit revealed God's will to you and I through his word. And Paul, when he was teaching the saints at Corinth, it wasn't by human wisdom, but those things that were taught by the Spirit, combining both spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. What's on your mind today as a Christian? Where do you get the spiritual thoughts and spiritual words? And that's from our studies. That's by listening to God's word through his, by not only taking what he says to you, to your life as a Christian, but actively applying it so that you could, again, live in a right relationship with the Lord. So the Holy Spirit gives revelation. And wisdom and knowledge are given through the Spirit. So we receive this through our studies. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, the prophet Isaiah said, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." And that is respect to the Lord. And we get this. The Holy Spirit reveals the will of God, and his revelations always apply to eternal life, never to earthly matters. So there again, we have to have the Bible in our lives, God's word, so we can understand the way we're supposed to live. And the way, hopefully, you and I will obtain eternal life. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery led to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." That is awesome as Christians, that we are God's children. And we have received the spirit of adoption as sons when we become a Christian. And in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, reveals to us God's fatherhood to you and I. We're sons. We're his children. And that is awesome. Who can say that my father had created everything? Only Christians. When you look around the beauties of nature, when you look at the different forces of nature, God had created this. That is awesome. That's my Father. That's your Father as a Christian. And don't be ashamed of it. Stand up at all costs. When you look at the Hebrew writer in the 11th chapter, he tells how faithful men of old, no matter what the cost, were faithful to God. And that should be an example for you and I. We should always be faithful, no matter what the cost. So speech is inspired by the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 20, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
For it is not you who speak, but is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you.
Thank you. So we see the Spirit. We don't speak. It's the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. We have to be really concerned as Christians on our speech. Luke says the same thing in Luke chapter 12 and verse 12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say, referring to the apostles. So the Holy Spirit was, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit's going to teach them. And they pass that information on to you and I. And when we look at Peter during his ministry, we see Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. Can I get a volunteer to read that for us, please?
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of all the people.
So Peter, thank you, Carol. So Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, and we studied about the Spirit a while ago. Dean had led us in an excellent study of the Spirit. And we learned a lot of things about the Holy Spirit. We learned about the Trinity. We learned about his role in the Godhood. And it's important that we understand the relationship that all three have, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit filled Peter in Acts chapter 4 and 8 to talk to those rulers and elders. In fact, when you think about this, he was in front of all those people who had control, and he spoke Jesus to him. He didn't deny Jesus, but yet he stood up and spoke about Jesus, and the Spirit assisted him in that. The Spirit gives us instruction. In Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 20, can I get a volunteer for that one, please?
You gave your good Spirit to instruct them. Your manna you did not withhold from their mouth, and you gave them water for their thirst.
Thanks, Eileen. So in Nehemiah, the Spirit and your good Spirit to, you gave your good Spirit to instruct them. The Holy Spirit gives instruction. He gave instructions to the apostles, who pass it on to us via the New Testament, which is beautiful for you and I. Because we have God's word, and he expects you and I to use it in such a way, not only to glorify him, not only to praise him, but to bring others to him. So in Micah chapter 3 and verse 8, on the other hand, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and courage to make known to Jacob and his rebellious acts, even to Israel his sin. So in the prophet Micah, He was filled with power with the Spirit of God. It must have been very difficult back in the Old Testament to be a prophet, because the people of the day didn't want to listen to God, didn't want to follow instructions. They did sometimes, but yet they fell short and sin. What about you and I today? How are we supposed to conduct our lives? We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. A profound verse that the Spirit gives us instructions, and we should be conducting our lives according to God's word, not according to human wisdom. Can I get someone to read Acts chapter 1 and verse 2?
Until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles to whom he had chosen.
Thank you very much, Anne. So, he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles, whom he had chosen. And in Timothy, hold on a second here, chapter 4, verse 1, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. God knows humanity, and he has given you and I a free will to choose. And we hope and pray that we choose God and not the world. But the Spirit knows that some will fall away from the faith. And that must be heartbreaking to God. So we should be on our guard not to let Satan pull us away from God. So what were some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that some Christians in the first century received? We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. And they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Some had faith, some had healing, some had miracles, some were prophesying, and others the distinguishing of spirits. Others had tongues, and some had interpretation of tongues. All these gifts were given to some of the Christians in the first century to confirm the word. But they have since been gone now. Those gifts don't exist. And if someone says they exist, they don't understand the Bible. And it's up to you and I to assist them with that and bring them to the Lord. So the gift of tongues in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. Can I get someone to read that for us, please?
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit was given them utterance.
Again, this is when all the apostles were speaking in Acts 2. All different people from different from different nations heard the message that was the Holy Spirit was sharing with them through the apostles in their own tongue. And Faye, can you read Acts chapter 19, verse 6?
And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying.
Thank you. So we see that the apostles had the ability to lay hands on individuals, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And we see that they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. This all has been done away with. So those are some of the gifts that God had shared with individuals through the Holy Spirit. So how does the Spirit help us with our prayers? Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 7 and Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Can I get a volunteer for Romans 8 and verse 26 and 27, please?
In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he searches the hearts, knows that the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God.
Thank you. So the Spirit himself intercedes for us with our groanings too deep for words. He searches our hearts and minds, and he intercedes for the saints according to God's will. That's a beautiful verse, and we know that the Spirit assists us in our prayers. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with our groanings too deep for words, that our prayers can be heard and granted. The Holy Spirit is there for you and I. And we have the Spirit, the helper, in our lives. And we have to use what we have to ask for help in our prayers. Also in our studies. Also in our communication with others when we present the gospel to them. So what does the Holy Spirit give Christians? John chapter 6, verse 23, and 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 5. In John 6 and 23, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and our life. So the Spirit gives life. It's going to give us life. It's going to give us eternal life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6. Can I get someone to read that for me, please?
Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Thank you. So the Spirit gives us life. And that is awesome, that we have an avenue to approach God, and that is through Jesus Christ via the Holy Spirit. So what else does the Holy Spirit provide Christians in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7? For I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, so tolerance for one another, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, all who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We have such a great avenue of unity as Christians. But we have to preserve that. We have to be humble. We have to be gentle. We have to be patient with each other. We have to love one another. And the Holy Spirit provides this unity and peace to the church. And what did Jesus tell the apostles about the Spirit in John chapter 16, verses 7 through 14? Can I get a volunteer to finish that off in our class?
But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. The Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me. For he will take of mine and will disclose it to you.
Thank you, Eileen. So we see that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment. We see that the Holy Spirit will guide the apostles into all truth. And we are very fortunate we have that in the New Testament. And also the Holy Spirit will bring to the apostles remembrance of all that Jesus taught them. And finally, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus Christ. That is so awesome what the Spirit does for you and I today. And it's up to us to incorporate that in our lives, to be right, to live righteously. And stay free from sin. Next week will be a little shorter lesson. I had broken next week's lesson into two parts, wisdom part A and B. And then after we explore what God's wisdom is in the Word, we will jump into the Bible timeline, and then we'll get into each and every book of the Bible.